Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
You know Evander Holyfield, but you might not know Fred Hatfield. Evander Holyfield was known most notably because of his bouts with Mike Tyson. But Dr. Fred Hatfield was his strength trainer behind the victories that Holyfield won in the boxing ring. And Dr. Hatfield said this about Evander Holyfield when he first began to train him. He said, in short, Holyfield did not have the capacity to sustain the high level performance required for even half the duration of a professional fight. He said, in short, Holyfield did not have the capacity to sustain the high level performance required for even half the duration of a professional fight. That was before Hatfield began to train him. See, the problem was Holyfield was training the wrong way. He was working harder, but not smarter. He was running in miles and miles and miles in the morning, but it was doing nothing for those excruciatingly difficult, painful moments in the boxing ring that are full of thrust and explosions that jogging just would never overcome. So he was training harder, but not smarter. He was putting in the effort, but it was doing nothing for him in the ring. And I believe there's a lot of us who are training the wrong way. Y'all are working very hard, but it's doing nothing for you in the ring called life. The explosiveness that you need to fight against the schemes of the evil when you just don't have, and you certainly don't have the endurance to sustain high level performance for even half of this thing called life. Wow. That's why many of you have already thought about giving it all away and walking away from the Christian faith. I know. That's why many people that are online, pastors and worship leaders, recently have walked away not just from their church, but from the church. They simply did not have the capacity to sustain the high level performance that is required for even half the duration of this thing called life. My prayer is that today you would learn what it requires to sustain high level performance in this thing called life. And let me begin by saying it don't start with you alone. Every single word I'm about to say to you is written to a collective church, not an individual. So as I talk about Holyfield, I'm talking about the holy field. I'm talking about the field of his holy ones. The collective Voltron of the saints. That as we come together, we form the body of Christ. So it is not me alone in the ring, but it's us in the ring against the schemes of the evil one together, though. Come on. That's right. And there are some things that he wants to say to us that will help us to find the victory belt in the ring. The first thing he wants us to understand is that we must remember the words of our trainers. I want you to notice the text. It says, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop. By the way, this is the first time that he comes back to this idea of beloved since verse 3. So I want you to skip up to verse 3, go back, and I want you to read again what he said in verse 3. He said, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So this is, if you are in school, the thesis of his paper. That I wanted to write to you about our common salvation. I wanted to floss like Paul does about the glories to come. I wanted to talk like John does about the inheritance that is awaiting us. But I simply could not speak about that because I felt compelled to compel you to contend for the faith. This is from which we get the word fight. Epi-agonizomai. Which means epi, strengthen, agonizome, agonize. So we should have a strong agonizing work in fighting for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now for the rest of the time, he begins once again by telling you what you fight from, your identity. Then he tells you in that very verse what we fight from. 4, and then all the way through verse 16, from verse 5 all the way through 16, all he's telling you is what we're fighting against. And then finally now, he's getting back to his thesis about how to fight in the first place. And the first thing he says when it comes to fighting is that you must remember, say remember. Say remember. Remember. One more time, say remember. Remember. Listen to me, y'all. The easiest thing to do in the Christian faith is to forget.
Listen. Come on, sir. Come on.
Which is why God throughout the Old Testament and New is always calling the church to remember. Why do you think Paul went through great lengths in Ephesians to tell the church that you were once dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air? Why do you think in that same letter, right after that, in verse 11, he says that you Gentiles, according to the flesh, were cut off and separated from the commonwealth of Israel? Why do you think he reminds you of the bad state that you were in? Because we tend to forget where we came from, and then we will want to go back to the very place that God rescued us from in the first place.
Come on.
It's dumb easy to forget just how bad Egypt was.
My God.
So you like the Israelites is going to want to go back there. Well, at least we was getting fed back in Egypt. But you forgot the whippings.
Help us.
At least we got fruit, but you forgot the fetters. So you look back upon your slavery and you look through these blissful eyes as though it was really good back in that place. And what the writer here, Jude here, wants to tell us is that because we're prone to forget, I'm going to remind you to remember. Y'all know the joint in your phone. Siri, set a reminder. And the reason why we have to set reminders is because our minds are not set on that thing. Like you never had to set recap, not you, recap, not you, recap, not you. Never had to set a reminder to call Brittany when I was going out with her. Because my mind was set. I didn't have to say, Siri, set a reminder to call Brittany. No, no, no. I woke up in the morning and I was set on her. But we have to set a reminder for the things that our mind is not set on. And sadly, Jude is saying to the church that because you have forgotten the things of the Lord, because your mind was not set on the word from the apostles, I need to remind you to remember.
Wow.
Anybody here need a reminder to remember the words of Christ?
Lord have mercy.
By the way, this is why we gather as the body of Christ. Like, I could just do church by myself. No, you can't, because you won't remember. Now, think about the weeks that you just don't come. Forget this place. Forget New Creation Fellowship. Because I know you have, well, he just probably wants to remember. I don't care nothing about that. Whatever church is your home, think about the weeks that you do not gather with the body of Christ. What happens? You forget why it's that important. And then you sit back in here, you come back, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm remembering again. And you walk out of here on Monday, what was it again? Tuesday, definitely forgot. Wednesday, gone. So by Sunday, you need another what? Reminder. Because our minds are not always set on the word of God. And listen to me, this is even for those of us who have rich devotional lives.
Wow. Talk about it, sir. Talk about it.
Like, I need a reminder. And as Paul said, and I think I do have the Spirit. So he says, remember the predictions of the apostles of Jesus Christ, what they told you. And I want you to notice this, what they are going to tell him, what they are going to tell the church, what they are going to, listen to me, tell us through the word of Christ, is that there are particular schemes that our opponent likes to employ in the ring. So we have a good trainer who has watched the video of our opponent, went through hours and hours of film study, and is letting us know prematurely what the fight is going to look like. So once we get in the ring, we don't act shocked. One of the reasons Holyfield was able to beat Tyson is because he had a trainer who had watched video and understood one thing. Tyson is going for early knockouts. So if you can just endure. You don't even got to swing a lot. This is how y'all be fighting in the Christian faith. Just wasting energy. You don't got to swing a lot, yo, because the evil one is going for early knockouts because he's not used to those who endure. He knows how to get those who are excited for a second. But he's not used to those who just stay in the ring. The reason why Holyfield was able to beat Tyson is not because he had, listen to me, stronger punches. It's because he had more endurance. Can you out-endure the schemes of the evil one? Well, you won't out-endure the schemes of the evil one unless you know which punches are coming. So here are the punches. Notice the text. He says, they said to you in the last time, there will be scoffers. The word in the Old Testament is very closely related to fools. Now, we don't use the word fool like really a lot in our culture. So let me just help you out. The word for fool is actually just stupid. So when the text says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God, he's saying stupid people say in their heart, there is no God. Now you get it? That's stupid. Dumb. And when you read the text like that, you realize just how much God was coming at people. Like, we like this God who's fuzzy and kind. Nah, yo. He's kind, but he ain't nice.
Okay, it's a difference.
We like niceties. Say a little bit nicer to me. I don't like you calling me stupid. Stop acting stupid. We don't got to use the word again. Be wise. And what is wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So what is the beginning of stupidity? The lack of fear of the Lord. Y'all think y'all could be wise and not fear God? Stupid. Stupid. I mean, God who made all of this. You walk outside and there's birds chirping in harmony. Me and Key was on the trip. We heard a new call. Yo, that joint sounded like straight up technology. We was like who programmed this bird? One did. God. And it was a call I ain't never heard before. Now, I've been living 36 years, and I heard a new bird call that sounded to me like something from a computer animation. And God did that overnight. Birds be. And all these harmonious birds started coming out, from the ducks to the ostriches. It's stupid to say there is no God. But it's just as stupid to know there is a God and not fear him. So scoffers, he wants to hit us with the straight of stupidity. Say the straight of stupidity. Say the straight of stupidity. Say the straight of stupidity. The reason why it's straight is because it's stupid straight and you still get hit by it. You see the insanity coming, you're like, oh, maybe I should just embrace this. Wow. Stupid. Wow. Anybody been hit by the straight of stupidity before in your life? But after this, he says, following their own ungodly passions. Now, remember the last time I told you that the passions, he didn't actually declare if they were really ungodly. Here, though, the text is literally saying ungodly. But remember how we defined ungodly last week? Asebia in Greek, which doesn't include the word theos in it, which is the word for God. So it's a, meaning not, sebia, which pertains to religion. So the best way to explain this is that you are irreligious, impious. You are irreverent. So the things of God just don't matter to you. And he said, in the last days, there will come some who will follow their own irreverent passions. So they're just going to follow their heart.
No.
Hey, sis, I just want to give you some good advice. Man, I know it's tough and things are challenging. Why don't you just follow your heart?
Help, Lord. Help, Jesus.
So Jesus says, deny yourself and follow me. Satan says, deny Jesus and follow you.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
And he just packages it in a better way. Follow your heart.
Oh, man.
Just follow your heart. It's all good. God knows your heart, so follow it.
Uh-oh.
And you are going to follow it all the way to condemnation.
Come on.
Because Christ knows that your heart ain't worth following. That's why he had to do surgical procedure and give you a brand new one.
Oh. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
So, we got the punches of passion. Say the punches of passion. It is these who cause, oh my goodness, here is the word, divisions.
Come on. All right, now. You in the room.
Yeah.
Somebody say divisions.
Divisions.
Now, we at New Creation Fellowship, we don't have division, do we? Because we know about this beautiful theological framework that one of the most brilliant theologians I know, Pastor Ike Todd, has come up with, called perfect unity. Now, perfect unity ain't nothing that's like really smart because it's not from outside of the Bible. Or it's not this like really, ooh, I got this new way of looking at things. No, it's just what the text has been saying from the beginning. God is unity. In three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God creates unity. You catching on? This is why there was order in Genesis 1. And then he creates mankind, you guessed it, for unity.
Come on.
So that mankind would have unity with one another, with the earth, and with the God who made both.
Help us, Lord.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Satan comes in and brings what?
Division.
Y'all are catching on.
So smart.
So here is the problem. When we think of sin, we think so individualistically that we think our sin only affects us. But you just said out of your mouth that Satan came in to break up the unity that God had created. In other words, every time you sin, it is actually divisive. You can't say you have unity and be sinning at the same time. And honestly, this is the kind of unity that the evil one would want to propagate because, listen to me, he is terrified of a holy unity. So if he can just get you to be unified and sinful, we rocking now. Because you think you're receiving the benefits of a false unity and you'll never actually look for the real thing until it's too late. Let me tell you the levels of this, by the way. We be trying to unify in relationships with people, listen to me, who in their own hearts don't know how to love because they don't know the one who is love. And guys, this only brings division. It might take its time, but it's going to come. We also, listen to me, in the church of Christ, listen to me, in the church of Christ are causing massive waves of division over very trivial things. And then calling the trivial things doctrine so that we can keep our division up. Divisions. I know this is not y'all causing division, not y'all. But the other people, you know them, the haters. Those people who cause division, we're still in the same context of woe. Danger, caution to you. You are on dangerous ground if you bring division to a church that was purchased by the blood of Christ to be unified. Can I just say this real quick? I don't care how sound they are. I'm so tired of hearing that word. They sound, but they mad divisive.
Come on.
Like, no. Let's be sound and unifying. Because division is division is division, y'all. So let me say this real quick. I want you to notice how he says it. He says, I'm just going to read this again. It is these who cause division. Say divisions. Okay. That came right after he said there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. So let's put this together. People who are stupid, either because they don't believe in God or they don't fear God. And by the way, we include a recap. Say recap real quick. I ain't never going to ask y'all to say my name again. I act stupidly too. We can become functional atheists who act like there is no God, even though we theoretically know there is one. And that, for that moment, is, y'all guessed it, stupid. And when I'm acting stupidly, what do? Follow my own worldly passions. You see how this works? And when I'm following my own ungodly passions and passions, epithemia, this means epi, once again, strength. Y'all getting Greek, right? Epi again, there goes that prefix again. Epi, strengthening the word. Themia, desire. So strong desire. When I am following my strong desires for something that is absolutely irreverent and ungodly, guess what I don't want to do? I definitely don't want to be close to people who are pursuing holiness. By the way, that's why you don't like being around Christians. It ain't because they judgmental. Stop saying that. You giving yourself a pass. Stop that. Because some of y'all Christian friends is too scared to actually check y'all, so they don't even open their mouth. And you still don't want to be around them. So they ain't even saying nothing to you. You're like, I just don't want to be around them because they're so judgmental. Why? Because how they look? They look judgmentally. Mm.
Wow.
So you interpret the whole situation. They condemn me with their eyes. Nah, you don't like to be around holiness when you are following ungodliness. That's why you become allergic to the church. Just start sneezing as soon as you get to the door. Just, I knew I was sick. We gotta go home. And all of this is, listen to me, because it has been predicted by the apostles. All of this is training for you to be careful to watch out for it. Not only in others, but in yourself.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So we got the deck of divisions. Say the deck of divisions. Now we got worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Worldly people devoid of the Spirit. I think these two things go hand in hand. You worldly, and the word here is actually like again, the word geis is the word for earth. There's not really the worldliness here. Maybe even cosmos. There's not even that here. There is, listen to me, more the language of natural. Natural people. Now, why would he say natural people? Do you see how that wouldn't translate well? So they got to say worldly because they're trying to help you to understand what it means. Why would he say natural people? What he's saying is that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you become spiritual. You receive new sight, say new sight. You receive a new status, say a new status. And you get a new service, say new service. All of those things are spiritual. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our tag verse for this church of new creation, that we don't look at people the way we used to. Why? Because we're spiritual now. So why does he say these people are worldly people? It is because either, listen to me, either they have received the Spirit and they ain't functioning like it, or they never actually received him in the first place. Why do you think so carnally? And when I say carnally, I'm talking about like everything's just about the temporary. What's my next job going to be?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Oh my. Where's my next raise coming? Where's my next house going to come from? What's the next whip I'm going to get? What's the next pair of sneaks I'm going to get? Everything is about stuff that is going to burn. There was one preacher who said, I've seen a lot of things at a funeral, but one thing I've never seen is a U-Haul truck. Because you can't take it with you. And y'all think on y'all deathbed, y'all just going to U-Haul all this stuff out of here? Carnal. You know what no one ever says when they're nearing death? I wish I could have made a little bit more. No, it's always about, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have cared about the things that are really important. And the things that are really important, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, are the things that are actually, hear me, not seen. Another word for it, spiritual. So are your eyes focused on what is seen or what is spiritual? Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. They do not have the Spirit of God. But here's the crazy thing about these people. Go back with me to verse 8. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. So they have dreams. They be having revelations. They be like really getting downloads from God. Me and God got such a relationship that, you know, he just be telling me stuff. But you living in sin. By the way, there are more spirits than just the Holy Spirit. And they teach too. They give revelations too. Many of their revelations are actually true. Y'all scared to death of that? Because they live in the unseen so they can see what you can't see. So it don't matter that you got a revelation. What matters is where the revelation came from. And if your revelations comes with a life that is characterized by sin, I question the revelation in itself. Or at least the source thereof. Void of the Spirit, but you got revelations. Void of the Spirit, but you teach in grace. Is that not what the text said earlier? They pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. In other words, they tell you about how gracious God is. God is so gracious. God is so gracious. God is so gracious. He would never judge you. He would never condemn you. No, he knows your heart. Follow it. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And God love you all the way to damnation. Because every time the text says God is love, it always follows it up by, and in this was love that he sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In other words, God's love required death to love you.
Come on. Wow. Wow, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Worldly, carnal, temporary focused people, void of the Spirit of Christ. And he said, you got to just be ready for this. He said, it's coming, guys. So just be ready for it. Now, when you're in a boxing ring, you don't know where it's going to come from. But you know the punch is coming. You don't know how it went, but you know it's coming. So you just got to be ready for it. Like, you got to be always on guard against these punches. And listen to me, This last one of being void of the Spirit is the scariest one, because it steeps itself in some kind of spirituality that just ain't holy spirituality. Right. So it might come from TikTok, might come from IG, might come from one of your Christian friends. Can I just ask you to just do me a favor? This is just do Recap Ray a favor. The next time your spiritual friends offer you advice that they don't got a text to come with it, don't ask them about the advice. They might be right. Ask them about their lifestyle.
Oh, that conversation
going quick. So what does your sexual life look like right now? Ask them straight up. Because we're trying to be spiritual and sexual at the same time. So ask him that. What you doing? Before I take the advice, man, I hear you. First off, I need a text. And if you don't got a text, maybe it's just godly wisdom. But like, I just need to know, what's your lifestyle like? Because if you're trying to pass on wisdom always comes with obedience and fear. So if your lifestyle ain't characterized by fear of God, then I don't think your wisdom is from above.
We need this.
No, ask hard questions. And this is for people who are in the church.
Amen.
In this church.
Amen.
Ask questions about lifestyle. I bet people get real quiet then. Stop with the revelations and start with the sanctification. So now remember. Somebody say remember.
Remember.
Remember the words of your trainer. But next, the text beautifully shifts. And this is the part that, like, honestly, this is why I wanted to preach Jude. These verses right here. It says, but you, say, but you.
But you.
One more time, say, but you.
But you.
One more time, say, but you.
But you.
And here goes that word again. Beloved, say, beloved.
Beloved.
Man, God really love you, yo. This is the good God love you. This is the God love you that came with a hard word, but he still love you though.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the kind of love that loves you even through your mess, but still calls the mess a mess. And we be out here calling a mess magnificent because we don't know how to love through it. No, God says, it's a mess. Ugly. Whoa. But you my beloved, though. That's how I be wanting to preach. I ain't going to hold y'all. I be like, I want to shout, 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 because my heart needed so bad. And I'll be like, but I love y'all, though, for real. That's why every Sunday, real rap, that's why every Sunday here, who do we end with? Y'all said it. Is it just God in general? Who do we end with? No, no, who do we end with? Okay, why do we end with Jesus? Because he is the provider of grace for all the woes that we really got to take in. So feel the sting, but remember you still beloved. If you are in who? But you beloved, after remembering the words of your trainer, listen to me, you must now embrace bodybuilding. Beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So he's going to say two things here. Embrace bodybuilding and stay in line with the trainer. Embrace bodybuilding and stay in line with the trainer. And when I say bodybuilding, I am not talking about you as an individual, but I'm talking about the building temple of the body. The language he uses here of building yourselves up is the same language that Paul would employ in Colossians chapter 2, where he says that we are built up in him and established in the faith. It's the same exact language Paul would talk about in Ephesians when he's talking about that we now, as the collective people of God, both Jews and Gentiles, are now the new structure of the temple. It is the same way Peter would say that as you come to him a living stone, you yourselves are living stones as well. Do you see a pattern here? Everybody's saying the same thing. The collective body is the new building of the presence of God. So you must build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So let me just explain what this looks like. Bodybuilding is comprised of two things: upper body workouts and lower body workouts. Now in boxing, listen to me, in boxing, you'll see these dudes coming out here real swole up top. Y'all know where I'm going with it. And little noodle legs. So they come out swole, they got all the, about to get knocked out. Because you swole up top, but you small down low. But check it, on the flip end though, it's people who do all leg work. Oh, man. With puny arms. You know, little dinosaur jaws. He said, not the T-Rex. So check it. What Jude is saying here is that he says that the body of Christ should be built up of both as individuals and as the collective. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me show you what this is. Upper body workout folks are folks who are doused in the scriptures. This is where the punches come from. This is the punches right here. Like this is what Jesus, when he was combating the evil one in the wilderness, what did he fight him with? The text though. That's your upper body. Like, yo, get in the scriptures. Because you don't got nothing to punch with if you don't have the word of God. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. This is how you do that. But lower body workout is the stuff that nobody pay attention to. But that's actually where the strength comes from. That's where the power comes from. A boxer with nice footwork and has done the legwork is going to do work in the ring. Because they know where the force is coming from. And that's prayer. And so you could be all nice with the scriptures, know the Bible, and if you do not pray, it's still, listen to me, going to be what Dr. Hatfield called arm punching. And he says arm punching just doesn't do anything. And he said when he first got Holyfield, he was nothing but an arm puncher, and it would exhaust him in the ring. He had to teach Holyfield what he calls total body coordination. That from the strength of the legs comes the power in the arms. From the strength of your prayer life comes the power in the word of God that you actually speak. And here's the beautiful thing about this. Once again, this is not specifically for us as individuals, though we can apply it that way. This is more specifically for us as a collective unit. So all of us should be praying and Bibling. Because when I say reading, y'all be like, the verse of the day. Noodle arms. Got nothing to fight with. Just noodle arms. No. Get in the scripture. Bibling. Say Bibling. Doesn't it just sound like it's more... We gotta be out here Bibling. Yo, sometimes I have days where I don't feel like getting in the Bible. Okay? I have days. Say, I have days. Anybody else with me? Say it. The first thing is admit it, right? We just gotta acknowledge it, right? I have days. Say it with me. Okay, so you have days. So we all in the same boat. And what many of us do is we say, since I have days, those days, I just ain't going to Bible. Because I don't feel like it. But you've neglected your weight training. And then wonder why you're weak in the ring. So what I like to do is I like to just rig my life around the word of God. I'll do crazy stuff. Let me just tell you some of the stuff I do to make sure that I'm always bodybuilding. I'll leave my closet open with the light on so it can beckon me to come to the light. I just leave the light on. It's annoying, especially when I'm trying to sleep. Like literally, I'm trying to sleep, but I will leave the light on so that I will, as soon as I wake up, see that annoying light and know where I need to go. That's just a small thing. Another thing I do, I will just take my Bible and I will just leave it open on the couch.
Oh, that's real good. That's good.
So the whole time I'm watching the Sixers, the Bible just like, dang. And we trashed and Jesus won. All right, Lord. All right, you know what? And I just start reading. And it starts with me reading with the game still on, still distracted. But I'm just rigging myself around the scriptures. And then at some point, it's like, this is getting too good, and that is not.
Amen. That's good.
And I find myself turning off that which was weeds to me, you know, distractions.
That's good.
We got to find ways to body build.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you got a gym, a prayer closet.
Come on.
I hope you got a space. Because we be paying people money to get the space to build, listen to me, physical muscle. But we won't even carve out the space in our free home to build spiritual muscle.
My God.
It ain't like you can't do some of them exercises at home. But you know it's something different about going to the gym. Well, ain't it the same with your own spiritual life?
Come on, sir.
It's something different about carving out a space. This is why the Messiah himself said, yo, go in the closet, close the door, find a secret place with Christ. And honestly, the times and seasons where I've been the weakest in my walk with Jesus is because I didn't quite have that space I wanted. That might be, we don't do like super practical stuff. That might be the most practical application. Go home today, and if you don't have one, carve a space out so you can meet with Jesus daily. All right. But after you are building yourself up, strengthen yourself in the word of God, you also need to combine that with prayer. Okay? So that means you are seeking the Lord. And here is what prayer is not. Prayer is not, I am going to yak, 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 yakety, yakety, yak, and never listen. Because I prayed a lot, y'all. I prayed, I prayed, I prayed, and it was all fast intercession. Because I was scared of even 5 seconds of silence. Because that time of silence with God, that's where you really begin to pray in the Spirit. And for some people, that praying in the Spirit might literally be praying in tongues. Paul would say the same words in 1 Corinthians, that some people are going to pray in the Spirit. Now, here it says praying in the Holy Spirit. There it says praying in the Spirit. So one might think that, okay, maybe these are talking about two different things. And that's what a lot of theologians are disagreeing with. It's okay wherever you fall on this, but listen to me. If you have been gifted by Christ to speak in tongues, praise God. That's the place, the most precious place, the most precious place to exhibit that. Pray in the Spirit. It's bodybuilding. But praying in the Spirit ain't only speaking in tongues, though. Praying in the Spirit, the word in here can be translated, here it is, by. And it is regularly translated like that in the scriptures. So pray by the Spirit. How you pray by the Spirit? Well, the only way you can pray by the Spirit is if you're sensitive enough to the Spirit. And if you're not sensitive enough, silent enough to be sensitive enough to the Spirit, you'll never pray by the Spirit.
Come on, come on.
So no, some of us just ain't silent enough to be sensitive. Because you're always talking. So pray in the Spirit. And sometimes in order to pray in the Spirit, you got to be a little bit quieter. And you know what happens when I start to get quiet in my prayers? Ooh, I'm going to just tell y'all the truth. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Y'all got to count the cost. If you really want to be a bodybuilder, like, for real. I'll be in that joint. I get quiet for a few seconds. And it'll be the one thing that I thought I buried that I need to repent of. And it only take like 10 seconds. It's like, all right, that make it, I'm a good, and then bop. And I, so you know what you do? Now you start praying that you didn't hear that. Because nobody want to go confess a sin. Sometimes it's old. But in those moments of silence, that's where it erupts in me. And I have to come before the people of God and repent like I had to last week. Don't like that, but that's bodybuilding. Now, what I'm showing y'all, I'm painting the picture of what my bodybuilding individually looks like. But here's the beauty of the body of Christ. As a collective unit, while all of us individually should be building ourselves up in the faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, upper body and lower body, we should have that power that comes from the legs and that power that comes from the arm. We should have total body coordination as individuals. But the reality is some of us are going to be given more to prayer and some of us are going to be given more to study of the scriptures. And that's actually a good thing if you are in the collective church. Because where you are weak, someone else is strong. And where you are strong, someone else is weak. And as a unit, we built the body up. So raise your hand if you're a prayer warrior for real. Just raise it high. Raise it high. We want to see you, by the way, because we need to know who you is. No, no, no. Keep it high, y'all. Please look around. I'm taking note, by the way. I'm taking note, by the way. All right. I see that hand. I see he got help and assistance. Be confident. I see that hand. All right. Bet. Can I just tell y'all, thank y'all for being our leg muscle. Because it's things that happen here on Sunday that nobody would ever pay attention to because no one's ever looking at the legwork. And yet those powerful punches that happen here are oftentimes because of y'all's prayers. But also, where are my people who are Bible warriors? Y'all like students of the scriptures. Say it with confidence. Say it with confidence. Come on. Right. Come on. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I don't need the 90 degree jump. Come on. Like, this is the one time you could. No angles. Vertical ministry, baby. All right. Look around, though. No. Look around. Look around, though. Look around, though. All right. Look at this, man. We got almost like a beautiful split. You can put your hands down. Y'all are the warriors in the text, and y'all be the ones on the front line, oftentimes sharing the gospel, because you packed with that gat. Are you ready for any kind of work? You want the smoke. You come ready. Now look at me. Here is how Satan brings division. You who are Bible nerds, because you packed with that heat, feel like you can go out without people who have prayed for you. And smartness has never converted a heart. At the same time, you who guys who be in prayer, be like, well, I just be experiencing God. Oh, yeah, all that stuff. I just be experiencing God. Stop. Because without the text of scripture, you might not know who you really experiencing.
Come on.
Now, here is the danger for some of y'all. Y'all are disconnected from the body. And here's what happens when muscles are disconnected from the body. They have what you call spasms. And some of y'all are just spastic. Wow. You ever seen somebody just going through a muscle spasm? You can literally see the muscle moving. Joint could be swollen up, but it's not helping the body at all. Wow. It's actually harming the body. And you out here doing a whole bunch of stuff, but it's just a spasm for us because it's disconnected from what we're doing. Again, if new creation ain't your family, cool, but be linked, be next to, be, here it is, unified with a body so that your muscle work can actually be in connection with other muscles and you can have what Dr. Hatfield calls total body coordination. So that we can go out as a body of Christ, as a unit, and we can start to do real work in Orlando. Hey, but we need you, though.
No, for real.
I want you to touch the person on their shoulder next to you. Stretch out. I know you're uncomfortable. You're going to get uncomfortable because I'm going to let y'all sit. Sometimes they'd be like, touch the neighbor next to you. And then you just like take it off like real fast. You know what I mean? No. This is beautiful. I wish we had a picture of this right here. This is so dope. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Like, we need you. Look to your left and look to your right. Like, yo, like, tell that brother or sister, like, I just heard some pastor actually do this, man. Tell that brother or sister, like, you need them. Like, tell them you need them. Like, you need them. No, repeat it, because they ain't believe you the first time, because they've never been told that before. Okay. You can take your hands down. Y'all like, oh my God. Woo! That'd be the problem. Y'all uncomfortable with each other. Yeah, what I'm looking at is literally so many nations. so many cultures, and all of y'all are telling each other y'all need each other. So we can be properly built up, as Ephesians says, when each part is working properly.
That's right.
But you ain't working properly if you ain't connected, y'all. And the ways that we are oftentimes disconnected comes here next. Notice the text. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So after embracing bodybuilding, we now enter into the ring and we keep ourselves in our trainer. You know how after a fight, they'll say he got outside of himself. As a Christian fighter, what we actually say is they got not outside of themselves, but they got out of himself.
Wow.
He says, keep yourself in the love of God. Same kind of language that Jesus himself says in John 15, remain in my love.
Right.
Here's the problem. We know how to remain in love, but we always know how to remain in the wrong kind of it. Now, both require work.
Yeah.
But remaining in false, phony, unsanctified love is exhausting. Why? Because that love ain't stable.
Right.
You ever, like, think about this. Like, imagine a bubble. Just imagine a bubble. And you just trying to just follow it wherever the wind takes it. Gotta stay in this joint. Gotta stay in this. And you don't know what they're gonna do. They love me to. No, they don't like. Why you don't like when I do that? Oh my God. I'm trying. I'm trying. And that's how you look in some of your relationships because their love is unstable.
Oh God, Jesus.
It just goes wherever they feel that day.
Jesus.
So one day they like you, the next day they don't. When he says, keep yourself in the love of God, the love of God is as secure as the bottom of that ring. Just stay in the ring. Even when you get knocked down, you're falling on his love. Just stay there. You see how you ain't going nowhere. Stay. You get knocked up. Get back up. Stay. All he wants you to do is endure. Just keep yourself in the love of God. You get hit him out. Bop. Stand back up again. You, oh man, I'm weak. Go pray. Strengthen your legs and get up.
Yeah.
I think my legs are ready. All right, go get in the word. So now you can go on the offense again. You get bopped in the mouth, knocked down again. You falling on his love. Go pray. Get back up again. Strengthen your legs and get back in the ring. You're like, I think I'm ready. All right, go get in the word. Throw another punch. And every time you're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the evil one ain't used to that. And y'all, I am telling y'all this. One thing I have learned is that when you try to do that as an individual, when you get knocked down, what you're going to want to do is go WWE ministry and just roll out of the ring.
I'm going to go ahead and go home. Yeah.
But when you, the body, when you realize you're bodybuilding, when you get knocked down, listen to me. Even when you can't pray, you go to a brother or sister and ask them, can you pray for me? And we strengthen our collective legs. And even when it's hard for you to go to the word, here's humility. I don't know this well. Can you teach me? Like, stay in your weight class. I don't know how to study. I don't know how to read. Show me. And then after all of that, I want you to notice it. It says, and as you keep yourself in the love of God, hallelujah, we are waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We just stay in the ring. We get back up, knock down, get back up. We're just going to fall on his love, stay on his love. Fall on his love, stay on his love. Fall on his love, stay on his love. And the whole time, the only thing on our mind is that championship belt when he returns. The belt is coming, y'all. The belt is coming, y'all. I know it hurts now, but the belt is coming. I know it's agonizing now, but the belt is coming. I know it's a fight now, but the belt is coming. I know you feel like you failed now, but the belt is coming. And there's going to come a day where the judge, not many judges, one judge is going to show up and declare, victor, Red Corner, the church, the body of the living Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to hold that belt of victory because we have conquered our enemy. As the holy field. You know Evander Holyfield, but I'm sure you don't really know Hatfield. But you've learned a little bit about Hatfield now. And one thing is peculiar about this story is that Evander Holyfield, after all of that training with Hatfield, we gotta realize that Holyfield was not the first to defeat Tyson. Like, really think about that. Like, it was a big deal that Holyfield beat Tyson, but he was not the first. Before him, there was a dude who you might not have heard of before, and he fights Tyson. At the time, Tyson is 42-0. Say 42. That's a wild record, by the way. 42-0. He has been destroying and dominating everybody. And here comes this guy, Buster Douglas. The name don't even sound tough. And Buster Douglas knocks Tyson out simply because he endured. And after Buster Douglas won his fight against Tyson, the reign of the terror of Tyson was over. It was almost as though Buster Douglas was the first fruits of victory for all the subsequent victories to come. Before there was a Holyfield, there was a Douglas. And before there was a church, there was the Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ steps into the ring and he is fighting his own opponents. Opponents like sickness, opponents like hunger, opponents like religious elitism, opponents like legalism, properly defined. All of these opponents, he is fighting them. He is fighting them, these principalities and powers. But now he has to face the one who is undefeated, death itself. So he goes to the cross, carrying his undefeated record against death's undefeated record. And on Friday, it seemed as though what death has always done was going to happen again with this fighter as well. By the way, nobody thought that Jesus could beat death. It's not like he came in a mansion, he came in a manger. You know, unassuming, Buster Douglas-like. He came not even looking tough. He came, as Isaiah 53 says, as like a young root. On a dry ground. He had no beauty that we should behold him. No majesty that we should look on him. You know, he was like Buster Douglas. So when he died on the cross for your sins and mine, nobody assumed that it did anything because many people had died on crosses. In other words, death had an undefeated record And people thought that Christ would just add to it. So he's down Friday. He's down Saturday. But count three. Early Sunday morning. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the living Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lamb of God and the Lion from the tribe of Judah, Buster Douglas Death. And he became the first fruits of the victories that we holy fields would win. So no, we don't have to be afraid of death. So build yourself up in your most holy faith. Now you're not worried about overcoming sin. So pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me. You don't have to worry about, am I on God's good side or bad side? Should I sacrifice today or tomorrow? There's no longer a need for a Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur happened on Calvary. The Day of Atonement already came. The Lamb has been slain. You are in the love of God. You are beloved. So all we got to do now is just wait. Endure. Get hit, endure.
Come on.
Go down, get back up, endure.
Come on.
Like every single time you find yourself falling into sin, maybe even to addictions that you said goodbye to 10 years ago, don't listen to the lie of the evil one who says you're now out of the ring. No, you're not out of the ring. You're just on the mat. Get up, because that's the love of God too. Grab some brothers and sisters to pray with you. Strengthen your legs. Go to the word of God. Strengthen your arms and start fighting some more.
Hallelujah.
And as you do this, people, we'll be able to say, just like we were able to say today, you know Holyfield? I want to teach you about Hatfield. You think you know the church, but I want to teach you about its Christ.